I'm taking my time this morning. Can you say amen? Because this is not because this is not Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, we, you know, they be looking at me because they got to get to the restaurant. You know, you have all of these, what you call it? Yeah, you got plans. People want to get out and take the pictures with their hats on. And, you know, the restaurant is waiting for you. And if you don't have an appointment, the line is all the way around the corner. But when it's Father's Day, you can just walk right on in. Sit right on down. Amen? I'm just telling the truth. Don't you want me to tell the truth? Amen? Y'all don't get frustrated that, you know, the wait is 2 hours and you sitting there and you hungry. You Father's Day, you just walk on in. We easy, right? Amen. But I want you to know this morning that fathers and men, we have an awesome responsibility. And we know that sometimes we can't fight every battle. So we don't fight that battle at the. But we have a lot of battles. We have a lot of responsibilities that we are charged with. So on this Father's Day, I want you to know I don't beat my brothers down. I don't do that. I lift them up. Because I am them, and they are me. Amen? So if you're looking for me to beat them down, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to lift them up. But when I talk about the men today, don't leave yourself out of there, ladies. Because you got the same charge that I'm giving them today. Amen? So even though the Bible and the scriptures might say men, just think of us. Amen? Because I'm going to read the scripture the way it is, but just substitute the word for us. Can I get amen on that? If I had a subject today is, we have to keep one eye on the enemy and one on the wall. One eye on the enemy and one eye on the wall. The scripture this morning comes from Nehemiah 4. Verses 13 through 17. And it says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up, and I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and unto the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall, everyone until his work. And it came to pass that time forth, that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bared burdens, with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and the other held a weapon. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. It's hard to go to work, and it's a hard job to do when you have to fight the enemy at the same time. Amen? But that's exactly what the Israelites had to do in this book of Nehemiah. The temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians. The Israelites had turned from the Lord to other gods, so God sent them into captivity. After years of captivity, the Israelites began returning to Jerusalem. When they got there, they found everything in ruins. To protect them from their enemies, the first thing they had to do was rebuild the wall around the city. But Sanballat, Tobiah, and their crew wanted to see them fail. They were their enemies, and they wanted to hurt the Jews. They wanted to discourage the Jews. They wanted to confuse the Jews. They wanted to destroy them. They wanted to discourage them. So Nehemiah put men on the wall. They had to rebuild the wall, but they also had to be ready to fight. I want to let you know this morning that sometimes we have things in ruin. And when we turn our lives over to the Lord, we have to rebuild those walls that were broken down. And in the process of rebuilding, we can't forget that there's an enemy still trying to get us. So while you're rebuilding the walls of your life, know that you still got to keep an eye on the enemy. God let the Jews know at this time that these leaders would be trying to destroy them. So Nehemiah in verse 13 said, "Therefore I set in the lower places behind the wall. And on the higher places, I even set people after their family with their swords and their spears and their bows. Where the wall was the lowest point, Nehemiah put people that were there." Amen. "Where the wall was at its highest peak, Nehemiah put people there." Amen. He says, "I even set people after their families, according to their rank, their number, the strength of that family, and the valor of that family." You see, when I read that, it lets me know that different families have different strengths. Different families have different levels of courage. Amen? What God sends somebody out to do, he knows what kind of courage they have. What God sets a family out to do, he knows what kind of strength they have. You see, when God sets something, gives us something to do, you look at why he chose them, but he chose them according to the level of valor that they have. It might look good to you. It might look appealing to you. It might look prestigious to you. But God ain't looking for all of that. He's looking for the heart. He's looking for their strength. He's looking for the courage. He's looking for the valor. When Nehemiah put people on the wall, he noticed all of these things. And he didn't just put people there. He put families there. Amen? Do you know that the church is made up of families? We're made up of families. So there could be a family that sings so well. God put them up there to sing. There might be a family that served so well, and God put them there to serve. Maybe as deacon, as deaconess. Maybe there's a family that cooks so well, and God put them there to cook. Maybe there's a family that loves to be ushers, that take it so strenuously, that take it so important, that understand the importance of what they do. And God will set that family up as ushers. Amen? And when God sets you up, Nehemiah told the people, and we should understand this, he said, "Be ye not afraid of them." Amen? Sometimes people come after us at where we are at in the church. But when you know that God has put you there, be ye not afraid of them. Amen? God says, Nehemiah says this because he knows that there is nobody greater than God. And then he turns and he says to them that you have to fight for your brothers. You have to fight for your sons. You have to fight for your daughters. You have to fight for your wives. You have to fight for your husbands. I'm here today, this morning, to tell the men that you have to fight for your brethren. You have to fight for your wives. You have to fight for your sons. You have to fight for your daughters. And you have to fight for your houses. He didn't leave none of that out. Because those are places that the enemy wants to attack you. Why? Because those are places that you love. Those are places that you get up in the morning, you go to work for. Those are things that are of importance to you. Amen? We should not be intimidated by the devil. Amen? Because the devil knows. You see, we always know that we have the Holy Spirit at our side. They say the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It teaches us. It comforts us. Amen? Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 4:15, it says, and it came to pass that when our enemies heard that it was known unto us. If the Holy Spirit lets you know that what the enemy is getting ready to do, he doesn't have as much power as he thought that he does. Matter of fact, it will put him on the run. So in Nehemiah, when the enemies heard that the Jews knew what they were attempting to do, they didn't come and fight. Because they already knew that these people were warned. There's something that says to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Amen? The enemy is always attacking us. So we are always, if you take that into consideration, in each and everything that you do, you are always forewarned. Amen? So when the enemy knew that Nehemiah knew all about this, they stopped their preparations for war. But as soon as Nehemiah told them that they're not going to come, he still told them. He still separated them. And he says, listen, I'm going to put one half of you to work, and the other half is going to be ready to fight. Amen? So when you go through something and you believe that it's over, don't put your weapons down. Don't put your weapons down. We don't see things happen when we don't believe that it's going to happen. We believe that the threat is over. The threat is never over. Be prepared, because that battle's coming. It might not come when you expect it to come, but you must always be ready for it to come. Amen? Nehemiah 4:16 says, and it came to pass from that time forth that half of my service wrought in the work, and the other half of them both held the spears, the shields, the bows. Amen? We must always be alarmed of the things that the enemy is getting ready to do. Because he said that when the trumpet sounded, everybody would drop what they're doing and come to aid. Amen? Realize that the Holy Spirit will tell us when one of you are in trouble. You see, when we didn't see Sister Shepherd, we started calling. I don't know what kind of trouble she was in, but we started calling. You don't need to know the details. You just need to heed the warning. Hallelujah. God don't tell you everything. He don't tell you everything. He don't tell me everything. He just gives me a warning. Amen? The trumpet will sound. Heed the warning. Amen? Nehemiah never ever put the guard down. He never ever looked around and said, oh, this is done. He said those that were carrying those burdens, that bore the burdens of putting the wall up, they were still behind them was those that were laddered. Amen? God needs some men like Nehemiah today. Now remember, I said when I say men, say us. When I say men, say me. Amen? See, God needs some I'm going to change it. God needs some people who will set to work on rebuilding the wall of protection. God needs some people who are willing to fight for what is inside the wall. See, we're inside the wall now. But God needs for us to be able to fight for those inside the wall. That means when you don't see your brother, you don't see your sister, you need to fight for the person that you know is inside of the wall. But you don't see them. Don't wonder where they're at. Call them. Go by their house. Find out what's going on with them. Don't you start asking other people. Find out yourself. Amen? He needs us to understand that we are at war. We are at war right now. You see, there's a world out there ready to devour your family. Come on, somebody. There's a world out there that's set on taking your children away from you. There's a world out there ready to destroy your marriage. There's a world out there ready to corrupt your mind. There's a world out there ready to take you down. But it's not a conventional war. If it was a conventional war, then everybody should be just armed with an AK-12. Amen? Everybody should just walk around with a pistol. So when you see the devil, shoot him. But you're not going to beat the devil by shooting him with a pistol. You're not going to beat the devil by using a gun against him. Because when you do that, there's more devils and more devils and more devils behind that. You don't have enough bullets to kill them devils. It would be so much easier if we could do that. And this war is not over the amount of land that we want. This war is not to say that, oh, New York wants to be part of Connecticut. It's not a land war that we're fighting. This war is not over sheer strength. You can work out all you want. You can have muscle on top of muscle on top of muscle. But it's not that kind of war. It's a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war. And this world is under the influence of the devil himself. The Bible says he is the prince of the power of the air. Amen? We sing a song, "This Air I Breathe." Well, let me tell you about this air you breathe. The devil is full of this air that you breathe. That's why we got to get into rarefied air that we breathe. So when all the pollution of this air, of this world, is all around us, that we can lift our heads up and breathe some rarefied air, some pure air. Hallelujah. The world, the secular groups that are out there, the godless, the corrupt, this world is marching to the beat of a drum of evil. Amen? Isn't it wonderful to see how they just march and prance in front of us? And they're so proud. But when you ask the people of God to get out and march, when you get out there to show who you are, when you get out there to show that you're prideful, that you're a child of God. And there's a reason why I use that word, prideful. People got all kind of prides out there. And they're ready to show their colors. But when it comes to God, you don't want to be known. I want to know, in all the months that they created, how come they ain't Christian month? How come there's not Christian month? There's Pride month. We're in Pride month. We're in Pride month. And that pride ain't got nothing to do with Christianity. But when it comes to fighting against the rulers of this world and the forces that Satan commands, we need to stand up. Amen? A spiritual war is called for spiritual weapons. Nehemiah put his men on the wall with weapons. But God needs some men on the wall with weapons. He needs some of us on the wall with weapons. Take a good look at your family right now. Look at it in your mind's eye. I want to know, is everything going well? Or do you have situations going on that are beyond normal? Is there a cause going on that there's divorces happening in your family? Is there any dropouts going on in your life that are dropping out from school? Is there drug abuse in your family? Is there fighting going on in your family? I don't know about your family, but my family has a whole bunch of that stuff going on. My family has a bunch of that stuff going on. Amen? And I got to fight a fight, a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle that the enemy has waged against me and my family. You see, I might not be talking about my immediate sons and daughters or grandkids, but my family extends beyond that. I got brothers, I got sisters, I got nieces, I got nephews, I got cousins, first cousin, second cousin, third cousin, so many cousins that are part of my family. I got my church family right here. Bible says, who are your brothers and sisters? It says, you are my brothers and sisters. So in my family, what's going on in your family is going on in mine. I'm here to fight for my family. I'm ready to fight for my homes. And if you don't stand and you don't fight, You're just going to fall for anything. Amen? Don't you know that you're God's axe? You're his weapon in this fight for families, in this fight for religious freedom, in this fight for spirituality, in this fight for people to be saved. His thing is that none should be lost. Amen? I want to know if that's your fight this morning. If there ever was a time that that's needed, it's needed now. Our children don't think it's anything to die. They don't think it's anything to want to go to hell. Well, I might as well just go to hell. If you haven't heard them say that, keep living long enough, you're going to hear something close to it. They think it's too much trouble. Too much trouble to be a Christian. I'd just rather go on to hell. This is serious. I know how we like to talk about the hand that rocks the cradle, and that hand controls the world, and that we're talking about the mothers, amen? But I'm telling you this morning that I'd like to suggest to you that the reason that this nation and churches are in the condition that they're in is because of us fathers. Because fathers, we have to turn the hearts of our children to God. We have to put our arm around our children and let them know that we love them. We have to even show them emotion and show them that it's okay for us to have that emotion for them and them for us. We got to be fathers who bring our children to church. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. We got to be fathers that bring our children to church. Why? We like to say, do as I say, not as I do. But if you want your children to be grounded in the Word of God, if you want your children to have this armor on them when they go to school or they go out to play, how can you tell them to have it and you don't show that you have it? How do you want them to believe when you don't show that you believe? We got to have fathers who walk into the family and not out of the family. We have to have fathers who lead their children in prayer and pray for them. We have to have fathers who have time for their children. I want to know this morning, is there anybody ready to stand and fight for their family? Is there anybody that's ready to give the devil the fight of his life? Is there anybody that knows that we can defeat the devil by the power of the blood of Christ? Guard your children. Guard your spouse. Guard your relatives and your loved ones too. The Bible is telling us that we got to be a shield. Amen? When we're a shield, they're behind us. But in order to be that shield, we have to put on the full armor of God. Don't go out there trying to be a shield and you're not fully dressed. You see, the men and the women of old fought for their family. And I believe it's time that we do the same thing. You see, Moses fought and delivered his family from bondage. Now, if it was just his immediate family, maybe it's 20, 30, 100 of them. But Moses' family was millions. Bible said that Moses led his family out of bondage. It's time for us to lead our family out of bondage. Noah protected his family from the flood. Amen? He put them in the boat, put them in the ark. Amen? He led them up there. He worked on this thing even though nobody understood him, even though nobody believed him. It's time for us to protect our family from the flood. What is the flood? Well, the minds are being flooded right now with all of this stuff that's going on the internet, on TV, in the music. There's a flood of that stuff going on, and you can't stop it. But you can protect them from the flood. Joseph provided for his family during the famine, even though they did him wrong, Even though they made him a slave, threw him down there and sold him. Even though he went through all of that years later, they were still his family. I'm here to tell you this morning that years later, after somebody has done something to you, they're still your family. You still got to feed them. You still have to shield them. You still got to protect them. David killed giants, preserving his brothers' lives. Little old David, they called them names. They told him, you ain't got no business out here. Go back home and tend to the sheep. But David knew that he was anointed, and he went out there and slayed the giants. Hallelujah. Abraham fought to free Lot, his nephew, from captivity. Jairus brought his ill daughter to Jesus to get healed. Amen? There's some healing that needs to go on in our family. And we have to bring Jesus in there in order to make things well. So are you going to stand up for your family this morning? Are you going to fight for your family? Don't just stand. A lot of people are standing, but you got to fight. We're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against those almighty powers of the darkness who rule this world, against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. Ephesians 6 gives us a list of these weapons that we need to stand. Some are defensive and some are offensive. But we got to be ready to stand on both sides. We got to be ready to fight on both sides. Amen? You can't be an offensive player, but you got to be a defensive one as well. You got to play defense and you got to play offense. Amen? On each side of the battle, when we fight this wall, when we rebuild this wall, we got to keep our eye on the rebuilding of the wall and another eye on the enemy. Amen? What weapons should we use? The belt of truth. Hallelujah. Our families are being attacked on this front. They don't know what is the truth and what isn't the truth. And a lot of times we are the source of that confusion, because we're saying one thing and doing another. What is the truth? He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is a defensive weapon. Our kids and our families, they see all kind of men, all kind of people on TV, people in the world, people elected to office, people who steal, people who are chairman of million-dollar, billion-dollar companies, people and men that are self-indulgent. God needs some righteous men, some righteous fathers. Amen? God needs some men, some fathers, some us, not just men, some us that live out the word of God. Amen? Need some people that are not afraid to take a stand. You know, behind closed doors, people are they have a lot of courage. You ever seen that? People who have a lot of courage talk loud, profess all of these things behind closed doors. But God wants people that is going to take a stand, that you're going to go outside and you're going to make a stand, that when things go on in your job and you know that it's not right, that you take a stand, that somebody's wife, somebody's sister, somebody's daughter is being affected by you not taking a stand. But when it comes to you, you want somebody to take a stand for you. The Bible says, treat others as you want to be treated. Amen? We need some people who are sold-out Christians in front of their families. We need the shield of faith. The shield is a defensive weapon. Our churches are full of men and women and children who are confused by them. Our church need men and fathers who practice what they hear. You hear a lot of things in here, but then you go outside like you didn't hear it at all. There's a song that we sing, you never mentioned him to me. But I want to say today there's some things that we mention, and you'll never go to Christ, you'll never meet your maker and say that he never mentioned that stuff to me in his word. Amen? I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. I wish that each one of you tell each one of you, more importantly, that you tell yourself the truth. Nobody lies to you like you lie to you. God need men that is going to stand for the truth, live righteous lives, who will live bravely by their faith. On the other side of the battle is the attacking enemy. Amen? We got to keep our eye on him because we always got to be on the offensive. But God is calling for us to be on the offensive. Amen? Don't let the enemy come to you. Go to the enemy. Go to the enemy. You go to the enemy when you witness. When you go to their houses and you knock on a door. You go to the enemy when you see them laying around the church trying to do something they got no business doing. You go to the enemy when the enemy is trying to come around your house and you tell them you can't come in here, devil. You stand outside, you put the blood of the Christ on your door. Put it on your doorstep. Put it on your door. Let them know you can't come in here. The enemy is so bold and we're so weak because he knows that you're weak. He'll walk right in your house and things will start happening. You won't even know what hits you. But that Holy Spirit inside of you will let you know, don't let that in. They don't mean no good for you, your household, your children. People are messing with your children and it takes years to straighten it out. If you can straighten it out. And you can't straighten it out. You need Jesus to straighten it out. There's emotional, social damages that are being done to our children right now. That's why you got to spend time with them. That's why no matter how tired you are, take time to spend with them. Not just your children, but your grandchildren. Not just your grandchildren, but your brother, but your sister, but your neighbor. The enemy only needs a little bit of room. To get on the offensive, we need the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The world is full of lies and half-truths. But you can't stand for God if you're not telling the truth. Amen? You can't stand for God if you don't trust him. You can't stand for God if you don't accept his son. God needs people who will stand up there and say, thus says the word of the Lord. Just like when Satan was coming after Jesus after he had his 40-day fast. He used the word of God. We must learn to use the word of God. Thus said the Lord. If he's your Lord and your Savior, thus says the Lord. We don't need to be compromising the word. We don't need to be twisting it around so it fits what you want to hear. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to tell you the truth. The truth hurts sometimes. That's why they call the word of God a sword. Because it's going to hurt. But it cuts like a knife. I found out yesterday we got some brothers around here with some knives. That's right, they walk around here with little knives. But I'm telling you right now, that knife is not a sword. And I think some of you women got knives too. Y'all can sit up here looking innocent, but I don't know what you got in your pockets, pocketbooks. But you can have all the weapons that you want, but it's the word of God that's going to see you through. We need to be able to go out there and charge the word, the world with the truth, and don't take back what you said. Have you ever said something, then start taking back what you said? You could do that in your own personal life, but when it comes to the word of God, if it's the word of God, don't take it back. Don't backtrack. Keep moving forward. Amen? You need to take back the territory that the enemy's trying to take from you. Amen? We don't need people sitting on the sideline discussing how the game is going. We need people to be in the game. We need people to get up and go. Not wondering whether they're going to be able to make it or not. We need guys that are ready to march. We need men on the wall. We need women on the wall. We need to be ready. And I want to close this morning by talking to the men. We get beat up so much for things that happened in our past, the things we done in our past. Amen? And people look and say they ain't never going to be right. They use this, that he still ain't right. They tell you you're never going to get right. But I'm here to let you know this morning that God changes everything. And it don't make a difference when God chooses you, you're chosen. It don't make a difference what anybody say or what anybody do. Amen? So when somebody tells you that, you say, I am anointed, I'm chosen, thus says the Lord. Because if you can't do that, the devil's not, you're not going to be able to stand up against the devil. And we got to be able to lead. The men, we have to be able to lead. This don't mean that women don't lead. This don't mean that they don't have no, it don't mean that. But there's sometimes your sisters in Christ, your sister, I'm saying this, your sisters in Christ will go outside and they want to witness or they want to do something. And just for the devil's sake, you need to be out there. For the world's sake, you need to be out there. Just so they can see that the men of God are backing up what God wants done. There's women that can preach the lights out. There's women that can teach the lights out. There's women who can heal the lights out. That's a God-given authority, and can't nobody take it from them. But when they go out, they need us to be there with them. When we go out, we need them to be there with us. Amen? We need each other. This message is about us being together. This ain't about bashing anybody superior or anybody lower. Because when you really get into the scripture, the Bible says that we are spiritually. No big eyes and little U's. So therefore, when things got to get done, I don't want to be hearing that the men need to do it. We all need to do it. I don't want to hear that the women need to do it. We all need to do it. Amen? We got to lift one another up. Amen? No, we got to lift one another up. Because the devil's not coming at me any harder because I'm a man, and any less at you because you're a woman. He's an equal opportunity terrorist. He don't care. He don't care. He sees a soul, and he wants it. And when God looks at us, he sees a soul, and he wants it. So ladies, sisters, men, brothers, mothers, fathers, let's remember this. Keep our hands on the wall and one eye on that enemy because he's coming for you. Hallelujah. He's coming for you. He's coming for you because there's women that are acting in the stead of fathers. That's what the enemy has done. There's women acting in the stead of fathers, in the stead of men. So that's why you got to take this message too. There's men working in the stead as women, as mothers. That's why you got to take this too. Because we are all children of the Most High. And we are at war against one enemy. There's one enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Hallelujah. And it doesn't, he don't make a difference who he uses. Hallelujah. So don't be a weapon that he can use. And when there's division in the church, this ain't in my notes. When there's division in the church, come on now, when there's division Oh, my God. Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. Are we all in the house? Are we all in the house? If we're divided, we can't stand. And we get it all twisted with this Father's Day and Mother's Day thing. I don't need nobody to do anything greatly crazy for me for Father's Day. You know why? Because I'm a father without this day. I don't need the world to recognize me. My wife, my children, and everybody else know who I'm a father. And nobody knows that more than me. And if I don't know it, I'm confused. On Father's Day, I used to call my mother and say, Happy Father's Day. Because my father wouldn't be a father without her. Mother's Day, I'd call him and say, Happy Mother's Day. Because if it wasn't for him or somebody like him, can somebody say amen? Amen? Don't let the world put you in a box to make you think that because it's Father's Day that they declared that you don't honor your father. Don't let the world tell you when to honor your father or your mother. It's every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. We got to honor them because we wouldn't be here without them. Hallelujah. And if you got a godly mother and a godly father, God bless you. And if you don't have a godly mother and a godly father, God bless you. Because somewhere along the line, you heard the word. Somewhere along the line, somebody witnessed to you. Somebody along the way, somebody said something that made some sense. Somebody showed you some righteousness. Somebody prayed for you. And it don't have to be a mother or a father. I get so sick of titles, so sick of these specific days. I get sick of that. Every day is an honorable day for us. Every day is a day of praise for us. Every day is a day of worship for us. Every day we have something to be grateful for. Every day we should be singing songs of Zion. Every day we should be praising the Lord. Every day when we wake up in the morning, it's a new day that Lord, the God has given us. Hallelujah. May we stand this morning.